question that has bothered me always is, and every day when I wake up, this question bothers me. If I got hit by a bus or in a car accident or something happened to me, like, who would take over? If I'm leading a life group, who would take over my life group? Or would it just end? For me, as like a pastor here, who would take over what I'm doing? And would they feel prepared? And would they be ready? And if you, as a life group leader, you don't have somebody in mind, and that happens, then the answer is probably nobody. And so I think that's what we want to talk about today is, like, who are we raising up and how intentional are we being about it? And not just, like, we often go to the how-tos, but if you're listening to this podcast today, I want you to tell, like, even say out loud to the car that you're in or the treadmill that you're on, this is my person that would take over for me. And then ask yourself the hard question, have I fully gotten them ready? And what does it mean to get somebody fully ready to take over what you're doing? That's what we want to discuss today, and we want to make sure that you're prepared. Because the truth is, we hope nobody ever has that situation take place. But if we're not doing that, we're actually not generating the leaders that we probably should be. Because the other aspect is, our group is going to grow, and it could grow and become two groups if we have this mindset about developing leaders. If you just joined us and you don't know my voice, my name is Mike Kintz. I'm the executive pastor here at LifeGate Church. I am joined by the always ready and always willing Amy Drescher.
Hey.
And she is the one who oversees our life group training at all our campuses and oversees the vision of what we're doing life group wise here at LifeGate. So why don't you take us into this? This is a super interesting conversation. Our goal at the end of this is that not only do you know who, but you're able to identify a pretty clear process on where you're at in that process of developing them as leaders to really take what you do and take it the next step further.
I was thinking, recently I've taken a leadership class, and I've just thought about, how did I get where I am today? What brought me to that? And many years ago, would have I ever guessed that I was gonna be in this spot? And anyway, I think I can look back at some key events that brought me to this. And a big portion of that was other people who spoke into my life. How about yourself?
Totally. I think about when I first cut my teeth in ministry, I interned under a guy named Warren Hunsberger, who was a pastor at a church in West Des Moines, Iowa, who was a businessman turned pastor, which is really interesting for my life the way it turned out. But he asked me such hard questions, and he really made me think about why I do what I do and what's the most effective way to do it. And somewhere along the way, he didn't just ask me questions, but he taught me to ask myself the hard questions and not to go forward unless I was willing to be honest with my answers. And it's really influenced me my entire life, not just in ministry, but in business as well.
Well, and I think about in so many areas in our life, if we're not intentional, how are we, we're either going to go in one direction or the other. And so if we're not intentional of where do we want to be, who are we pouring into, we become stagnant.
So true. And I think the number one critique I hear of life groups is this, that people begin to lose the vision of why they're there. And the truth is, life groups were established so that we could grow in our relationship with Jesus. And that's why you and I believe this wholeheartedly. Jesus didn't say, go make converts. He didn't say, go make community. He didn't say, go make friends. He said, go make disciples. Which means the groups that we're in, especially a life group, is intentionally growing people in the relationship with Jesus Christ, which models a very biblical model where we see, well, I don't want to steal your thunder, but we see this in the New Testament almost like displayed before us in a pretty nice and sweet pattern, which is, this is your thunder.
Well, today, so we're going to be looking at Paul and Timothy, and what did their relationship look like? And really, it's been screaming out at me so much. I mean, Jesus, that's exactly how he walked alongside of his disciples as well. So looking at your life group Is there someone that immediately comes to your mind of this is the person that would take over my life group if something happened?
Yeah.
And if somebody doesn't come to your mind immediately, I encourage you to ask the Lord, who is that?
Yeah.
Who is that that I can be intentional? Because you are pouring into your whole life group.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe each one of us are supposed to have that person in our life that we're specifically pouring into.
Which can feel like a lot of pressure, but the truth is nobody wants to build something that's just gonna go away.
Right.
And if we truly are building this relationship with Jesus in the lives of people, then there will be people that resonate with you. So I take you back to the question that I asked at the very beginning, which is when you heard that as somebody listening to this podcast, who's the first person that came to your mind? Who would naturally take over for you? Until, like, unless the Holy Spirit gives you a totally different name, then I would develop that person.
Yeah.
And really think about that to say, okay, honestly, who would take it over? Mm-hmm. And you can't have the answer, well, nobody, it would just fade away, because that doesn't get to be your answer unless the life group that you have is just you and your wife. So,
And going back to, there's some of us that were excited about leading, but there's a big percentage of us that if we think back and somebody spoke to us about leading, we think, who am I, you know?
Yeah.
And there's insecurities there,
totally.
And we don't think. And so I think back to many years ago when somebody asked us about leading, and it was like, oh, I don't know the Bible well enough, you know? I don't have these giftings, because I was comparing myself to somebody else always.
Right.
And really, if we look at Jesus and the disciples, he walked alongside of them and allowed them to make mistakes.
Totally. And he didn't wait for somebody else to recognize something in themselves or somebody to recognize it in somebody else. He called it out of them.
Right.
So the things that you didn't know that you had inside of you, somebody called out of you, which is exactly how it began with Paul and Timothy.
Right.
You hear this in his letters to him. Don't forget the words, that the prophecy that was spoken over to you, the prayers of your grandmother. Fan that into flame. Mm-hmm. There's this encouraging, like almost fathering relationship that Paul has with Timothy in the beginning. And you can kind of get the sense that as they were journeying together, he kind of had his arm around him like a son, saying, no, you can do this. Like, don't forget this. You know, so he's reminding him back to it later. But you get this idea that Timothy really did cut his teeth in ministry alongside of Paul, which is really your first phase, which is this kind of parenthood.
Yeah. And you think about your kids. If you have kids, you desire to see them succeed. Mm-hmm. You desire and you get excited about seeing their giftings come about. And really, if you stop and think about why would we apprentice somebody? Why would we mentor somebody? It's a desire to see them to step into what God has for them.
Exactly. Exactly. And the funny thing, when you have your own kids, you think, well, they'll probably be good at this and they'll like this. And then you try things and you find out they don't like them. Like my son Josiah slept with a football for the first like 5 years of his life because I thought he'd want to play football. Mm-hmm. Turns out he liked playing drums more than he liked playing like football, which was fine with me. So you're going to find, even with your apprentice, it is that, like, we're going to test and see something. You're going to go down some roads that are like, okay, that's just not in them. But what is in them is the key to what you want to develop in people. And that's the discovery phase that often happens with parenthood, where you encourage them to see the things that you see as like little seedlings, you encourage those to grow.
Yes.
But you don't control them so they grow in the way that you want them to. Mm-hmm. You grow them in the way that you're like, okay, I recognize God is doing this. Mm-hmm. And that's it's a tricky thing to do as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little less tricky because you're in an environment that like has a little bit narrower borders to it. But it is still tricky because not everybody's going to have your same makeup and design and personality type. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think we see mostly with Paul and Timothy is Paul was very much an assertive personality where you don't see that same level of fire in Timothy, but you see the same level of dedication and commitment.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And stopping and thinking about many years ago when I had a few people just come and speak things that they saw in me, I was clueless of what they even saw.
Mm-hmm.
But it made me dig and think, okay, what are they seeing? Because so often I don't think we see our own giftings.
Yeah, it's true.
And we just think everybody has whatever we are working. It comes naturally. And so there is so much as a leader, there's so much power as when you speak something into somebody else. I encourage you to take the time to do that with all of your members, to, you know, to speak out and call out mm-hmm. what you're seeing in them, because so often people just don't see it in themselves. Yeah.
And if there's anything that really marks that first phase of parenthood, it's speaking destiny into people's lives
yes.
over and over again. So you might ask yourself, okay, well, how do I know I have a Timothy? Like, the truth is, you are laying seeds of destiny in people's lives by speaking into them. And as you call things out of them, and you're right, this could be your whole group.
Mm-hmm.
But as you call things out of them, you will see this growth take place in them. Now, the second phase that you mentioned was pace setting. Why don't you give us an understanding of what you were thinking with that?
I think about 2 Timothy 3:10, 11 says, "You know what I teach and how I live and what my purpose in life is. You know my faith, my patience, my love, and my endurance." Basically, I think about when I first was in a life group, I was watching the leaders and just watching how they lived life, how they read their Bible, how they worshiped. I just learned a lot from just watching. And I think just learning, you know, I think we can have a lot of religion in our lives. And I think about all of the things that I learned new, the freedom of what relationship versus religion looks like. Mm-hmm. And so just speaking life and freedom over somebody that you're walking alongside of them, giving them the freedom to be the person that God's called them to be, and encouraging them to, you know, these are some of the things that helped me grow.
Yeah.
I know here it's been a few weeks, but we have been learning about making, putting that trellis up.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of goes back to that mm-hmm. as far as how do we build that trellis?
Right.
What's that look like?
Yeah. And I think the key indicator for pace setting is really this. For the leader, it takes transparency.
Yes.
You've got to be willing to say, here's what I do. Mm-hmm. Here's how, this is how I process it. Because they're moving from a child who doesn't understand that they have giftings to somebody who they can look at what you're doing. And it's really where Paul would say to Timothy, follow me as I follow Christ.
Yeah.
Here's how I do it. Now I want you to do it alongside of me. It's a little different from partnering because there's this vulnerability of, okay, I think you have the goods. Now let's start running together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then this all culminates in this phase three that you have called partnering.
Yeah.
Which, give me the distinguishing factor between pace setting and partnering.
Mm-hmm. So partnering is when we're really recognizing, you know what, step mm-hmm. out and we're in this together. So what are you doing? Who is your Timothy?
Okay, so now they're repeating what you've done.
Right, right. And so it's releasing, and that doesn't mean they got it all together, because obviously you don't have it all together.
Hey, well, you don't have to.
So, but it's, you know, I think God doesn't put all these things in. You have to have this and this and this before you start doing this.
No, but I do think it's really good, and this is really the place we'd like to come to with every one of you as life group leaders, is we don't want you to just identify who's your
yes.
Timothy. We want you to identify, they're really in phase one, I'm starting to call this out in them.
Yes.
Or they're really, I'm pace setting, I've been very vulnerable with them, and like I'm starting to hand some things off to them and they're running with it, and like they taught one on a Tuesday night, that kind of thing. Or if you're really at that partnering phase where you started talking to them about maybe even leading their own life group
mm-hmm.
and stepping out in their own area of ministry. And I think it's not that they have to have stepped out to be in the partnering phase, but you've recognized it's mm-hmm. that time and you started to have those conversations.
Yeah, yeah.
And so.
And yeah. I also think that there might be some of you that are saying our whole group is already in this phase where they're already, you know, have been walking with the Lord for a long time. I encourage you to stop and ask, so who in my life is, you know, God leading me to? Because I believe that we're all supposed to be doing this.
Yes.
It's not like, that was a season.
Mm-hmm.
He's calling us to always be having a Timothy, always to be having a Paul.
Yeah.
As leaders, we need people pouring into us.
Yes.
And we also need to be pouring into others. So.
And I think maybe a great way to end this is to answer the question, why? Why is this mm-hmm. important? And here's the thing that you need to know as a life group leader. We have people that want to be in life groups, but we don't have open life groups. Mm-hmm. And so the reality is, where you might go, well, we feel comfortable, we really like each other. The idea of discipleship in the Christian life isn't about our comfort. Mm-hmm. It just isn't. But the idea is, are we making disciples? So you have this one command that Jesus left at the end of his life in Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20, go and make disciples of all the nations.
Yes.
And so there is this sense that that wasn't just meant for the 12 disciples that were there. It's not just meant for pastors. It's meant for every person that says, I'm going to follow Jesus and I'm going to die to my own desires, mm-hmm. so that his desires might be manifest in my life. Mm-hmm. And so here's the, like, if you want to know what the true deal behind this all is, the reason we want to do this is because our desire is to be people who disciple mm-hmm. other people.
Yeah.
And that's the goal, and we want you to know that. The goal is, like, we love that you have good community and that you get to be with people that you love. However, that's not the goal. The goal is, are we making disciples? Are we helping people walk in their journey further in their relationship with Jesus Christ?
And honestly, if we didn't even need this, God calls us to this.
Exactly.
And so if you stopped and we would stop and ask you, how are 1,000 believers going to come out of your group? Honestly, all your members are called to the same thing.
Yeah.
And so we're all just called to disciple. And so challenging people and being intentional about, you know, what is this? Who are we reaching out to this week?
So hopefully you heard that. Your goal is each of you, 1,000 people coming. So, hey, have a great rest of your day, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.